communion was a little different, you know. I hope you enjoyed the juice better than the other one. We want to thank Jessica or Jess for setting it up and doing all that stuff. So thank you. We certainly do appreciate it. Praise God. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and let's make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Praise God. Today's the first day of June, huh? Yep. Y'all know what today is? Today's the first day of June. What else? What? Yeah, the start of hurricane season. So that means we have to pray. God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, we don't realize how much authority God has given to the church for all things. So we're going to pray about this hurricane season, okay? Let's lift up our hands and pray. Father, we come before you. And Lord God, we humble ourselves before you, Father, as we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we know in our calendar it says that it's the start of hurricane season. But Father, we know that you are the God that goes before us. And Lord God, we pray that you will not allow these things to be stirred up, Lord God, that you will dissolve these things, Lord God, in the Gulf and in the oceans, Lord. That Father, Lord, that we will have peace, safety, and help, Lord God, this year, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to look at verse 20. I'm going to read all of it, then I'm going to get back to the part that I want to zone in on. It says this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he closes it out by saying, amen. Here Jesus, this is still during his 40 days from the time he rose from the grave, he still hadn't ascended yet to the right hand of the Father. Here we see the disciples in the earlier part of the scriptures had gathered together. The 11 disciples, and also it's other people. We don't know how many other people, but it was more than just the disciples had gathered there. And he had told them, he said, go to the mountainside that I have designated for you to go to and be there and worship me, you know, worship the Father. And so they went to do those things. Because he knew what was about to happen. And we know after the 40 days he ascended into the heavens and took his rightful position, because everything that he came to do was accomplished. There wasn't anything left that wasn't not done that the Father didn't want him to do. He had completed it all. But he said this to his disciples and to the other people there, because some doubted him. You know, some had doubted that he rose from the grave. I mean, they really, you know, even some of his disciples doubted that he had rose. But finally, he came after coming to them many, many a times, even doubting Thomas. Jesus got him on his side finally to believe. And so we see here, he's about to be taken out of this world and brought into the heavenly place, to the throne room of God, to be seated in his rightful position, the place that was for no one else Accept him. Accept him. But he said this to those 11 disciples, and he said this to the other people that were there. And the zoning part I want to get to is, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or it could be even unto the end of that age. That means, lo, I am with you always. Can't get plainer than that. He's telling his disciples, I'm with you always. The Holy Spirit will be here. We can have that assurance in our hearts and in our lives that God is always with us. And lo, I am with you always. He's not only there when you're in church, but he's also with you when you're on the job. He's with you when you're shopping. He's with you when you're buying something. He's with you when relationships are not good. He's with you when relationships are good. He's the kind of God that does not desert his people. He doesn't go away from them, but he stays with them and helps us on our journey and our walk with him. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or the end of that age, my Lord. What a comfort that brings to each and every one of us. And he closes it off by saying, amen, which means so be it, my Lord. What a guarantee of the promise that we have. That we don't have to get up tomorrow morning wondering, is God with me? We don't have to go to bed tonight thinking, is God with me? We don't have to wake up sometime or go here or there and thinking, is God with me? We can have an assurance in our hearts and souls that he is with us no matter what. As we serve him with everything within us. And he closes it out with a promise saying, amen. My Lord, so be it. It will be done. It's a guarantee that what he said he would do, he will do. When you're walking through the storms of life, God is with you, my Lord. When you're walking through the power of Almighty God, God is with you. When you're going through something that's not good, that we think is not good, he's still with us. Still with us. Speaking to us. Showing us things. Revealing things to us. Because that's the kind of God he is. And the enemy will come to try to tell you that God has left you. And that is not truth. Remember, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says, I've come to give you life. Or Jesus said it. And we know he gives life because he is there with us. He's the giver of life. My Lord, we can rest assured that the power and the presence of Almighty God will rest upon us. And he will give us the direction and the guidance that we need throughout our lives. He will protect us and he will get us through because that's the kind of God we serve. And whatever he's called you to do, God will get you through it. So you want to know why so many preachers are quitting the pulpit? Because God didn't call them. Now, there's some God still did call, but they still quit. But when God calls a preacher, or when God calls a lay person to do something, let me tell you this. That doesn't mean that it will be all the best of things, but God will be there to encourage, to help, to promote, to do what he needs to do to get the job done. See, God is the one that helps us get through and to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. That's the power of Almighty God. Jesus' promise is a reassurance and an encouragement to his disciples, people reminding them that he will be there with them throughout their mission, even until the end of time, my Lord. He will be our companion. He will be your friend. He will be the one that guides you. He will be your Savior. He will be your God. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the end of that age of time. Can you imagine how those disciples and those people felt, even though they doubted him before? There was no doubt left in the land at that time, right then, in that land where they were. God said, I'll be with you. Jesus said, I'll lift you up. Jesus said, I'll help you when you need help. My Lord, what a comfort. Lo, I'm with you always. Not just in the morning, not just at night, just not in the middle of the day, but every day, in the morning, the noon, the night, throughout the night. I'm with you. My God, how much more comfort can you get? You know? How much more comfort do we need? That God is with us, that God will protect us, that God will give us direction, that God will give us those things that we need. You might say, well, I've been praying about things and I haven't heard anything. Well, look, keep praying, keep believing, and when God wants to speak about that situation, he'll speak to you. See, this is the deal. We don't tell God when to speak or when to tell us something. He speaks because he's God. He gives us direction because he's God. We are his children, the sons and the daughters of the living God. And so we live by faith. You see, that's where it takes. When we got saved, it took faith to believe that he's there. Has any of you ever seen God before? Has anybody ever seen God? If you have, please tell me. None of us has ever seen God. But yet, there's something stirring on the inside of us. Oh, my Lord. Yet we feel his presence. Yet we serve him every day with faith in our hearts, doing what we can to promote the kingdom of God upon the earth. Yet we've never seen him with our eyes. But we've seen him with our spirit, man. Because he was the only one that could stretch forth his hand and touch the inside of our lives and change us. We've never seen this man with our physical eye, but we serve him with everything within us. And we give and we help to promote him upon the earth. That's faith. You might say, well, I don't have faith. Yes, you do. You do have faith. Because you're serving a God you've never seen before. But you're serving a God that has touched your life and changed your life. That's faith. That's faith. My Lord. I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 14, page 1880. Luke, John, 1880. Hallelujah. Y'all a little quiet this morning. Amen, that's good. I didn't say it was bad, I just said y'all a little quiet. That's okay. John 14, starting with verse 16, okay? And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. I'm going to just look this way a little bit, if you don't mind. He will abide with you forever. Not just in the morning, not just at night. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He will, and then when Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit to abide in our hearts forever. Forever. That we are not in a, if you want to say hurricane, because it's hurricane season, just today. We're not just going around in a hurricane and trying to find something. No, we have direction because we serve the mighty God. He gives us the direction. He helps us. You might say, well, I've been praying about something. I don't have direction. But your direction is still towards him. Your direction always has to be him. Your direction and your eyesight always has to be towards him. You might need direction in a particular point or particular area, but your direction is always towards him. And he divvies out or gives out what we need at a specific time in our hearts and in our lives according to what he has planned for us. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for his people. My Lord! That's found in Corinthians and Isaiah, both of them. I like Isaiah the way it's kind of worded a little bit, but they're both good. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for his people. That's what he thinks of you. My Lord. When you think you've got it all and there's nothing more with God that you can do, God has more in store for you. It's not dead and over. It's dead and over when you close your eyes for the last time on earth. It's dead and over in your body here. But I tell you what, your spirit leaves, and right when your spirit leaves, it goes to the throne room of God to be with God. You don't float around upon the earth. You don't stay in that grave. That spirit, as it leaves your body one day, will be with God in that split second. My God, and God will comfort and help you and give you direction if you need it then. My Lord, what a God we serve. We don't have to go around wondering. We go around knowing. Oh, that's good. You should have shouted. We don't have to go around wondering. We go around knowing our God is in control. We may not have the particular time. We may not have the particular situation. We may not know 2 feet in front of us what's going to happen. But we know we serve a God that knows. We serve a God that will take care of those things. We serve a God that will handle those things. And nothing is too difficult that God cannot handle. I know with us, we get overwhelmed with situations and problems and events and things, but I tell you what, God is calm in heaven and he is getting ready to do what needs to be done in your life as you keep serving him and wondering. God, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Let's read it 16 again. And I will pray the Father and he shall give you another Comforter. And that he may abide with you forever. Praise the Lord. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, my Lord. Where would we be without the Holy Spirit? I don't know. Probably not in church. Where would we be without the leading of the Holy Ghost? Where would we be without the leading of the Holy Spirit? And it's all because of what Andrew talked about a little bit, what Jesus did, suffering, what he did upon this earth for us. Honestly, we don't do, really, let's face it, none of us deserve God living in us. Not a one of us, not one of us deserves God living in us. We don't deserve it. But somehow, we have captured the heart of God. I don't know what we did in the beginning. I mean, I know the story of all that stuff. But I don't know how we captured the heart of God. Oh, she's captured somebody's heart in there. But how we captured the heart of God, I don't know. For him to look at his son and send his son to die a death that he did not deserve. My Lord. And to be embarrassed in his life, hanging on that cross. With nothing on. Zero. But he did it because he loved us. And he knew that in 2025, on June the 1st, that we would be sitting here, or I would be preaching here, and you would be sitting there. And the only way that all his people could have him is by doing what he did at Calvary's cross, so that he could pay the price at Calvary and bring it to the Father, and the Father could send the Holy Spirit to us to have the victory and the help that we need. God is a God. And I know I've said this scripture over and over, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the world. You know, Peter, I kind of thought about this and I heard somebody say this, and it's true. You know, Peter and James were basically in the same prison, basically at the same time. The day before Peter saw the miracle working power of God, both these men, Peter and James, loved God. They loved God. James, the day before, the armies go into that prison and they take him and they bring him out to the courtyard and they execute him. When I say execute, they take the sword and they cut his head off. These two men love God with everything. And I'm sure Peter heard about it, or maybe he even seen him walk to his fate of death. But we know this, God was with James. The next day, Peter knew his fate was coming, that he would be executed. But God, in his miraculous power, came in and shook that jail. The doors came open wide. Peter walks out that jail and there's a whole lot of stuff going on. And he goes to the place where they're praying for him. God delivers this man. You're probably saying, Pastor, these two men love God. Yes, they did. Did one love God more than the other? No. They loved God and was serving him to the best of their ability. Yet one's fate was death prematurely. Well, I say prematurely with a sword. And one was to be let out of jail miraculously. People can say all kinds of things and people have all kinds of scenarios of why and what all this. But it basically comes down to the fact that God does what he wants to do. You might say, well, Pastor, why does that happen to one and not the other? I don't know. Can you imagine as Peter goes to the door and they finally let him in, you know, after the whole scenario of stuff. And these people are praying for these disciples, some of them, and their families were praying for them. And they see Peter at the door. And all of a sudden in the corner there is James's wife and maybe children. And they're thinking, why was one delivered, but my husband or my father wasn't? You ever thought of that? See, we don't know the scenario of everything. All we know is this. God says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Amen. What we go through, God has to allow. What we go through, he's in charge of. What we go through, he will make sure we come out better than the day before. You might say, well, James didn't come out better. Let me tell you, he got to heaven before all these other other guys and people. And we don't know what James saw or what happened when he was being led down to that place. It doesn't say all kinds of stuff. But I want you to turn to Acts chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 7. Oh, hallelujah, people. Come on. I keep praying, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to believe. Lord, help me. Look at verse chapter 7, verse 54, page 1917. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. This is Stephen that was preaching. Now, who cuts their hearts? That's the Holy Spirit working. You know, that's just like, just commercial here a little bit. That's just like, you know, when you know, maybe somebody's preaching or something, and something is said, and it's like it cuts you to the heart. That's just the Holy Spirit working and moving and doing and being what we need for him to be. And as they were cut to the heart, it says, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were so angry with Stephen. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. Now, it says in the comment that he saw the throne room of God. Can you imagine that? And Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. I mean, they closed them. And they ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Y'all know who Saul was, huh? Okay. He became a mighty man of God, Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down. And cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That means he died. But can you imagine, people, we have to be strong Christians. That doesn't mean, you know, we won't go through things. That doesn't mean things won't happen. But that means you turn to him. And I tell you what, when things come your way, you're about to see God in a different way. Stephen, here he is preaching about Jesus Christ. They got so mad at him, they wanted to kill him. It cut him to the heart because what he was saying was truth. You see? Not everybody's going to like you for what you say. You know? But that just so they know is the truth and you love them. It says that he got to the place where they were coming after him. And he looked to God and he saw the heavens open. And he saw Jesus and God upon the throne. I know I've never seen that before. I've never. I felt the presence of God. I've seen certain things, but not that. Look, that energized Stephen. Let me tell you this. If we have to die for the things of God, God will help us. And he will strengthen the church of Jesus Christ. They came after Stephen and they wanted to destroy him. But he saw Jesus and he saw God. And he saw Jesus not just sitting, but Jesus standing in authority. You might say, well, why didn't Jesus do something? He did something. He opened Stephen's eyes to see him in a better way, to strengthen him. We don't know what happened with all these people that killed him. But we know this. They saw Stephen that looked to Jesus Christ. And Jesus stood up to welcome Stephen into the kingdom of God. It says he fell on his knees. And he just fell over. And they stoned him to death. Can you imagine? That's a horrible death, people. At least if you killed, you know, by a sword or whatever, you just out quick. Stoning is one little bit at a time. And it depends where it hits you. These stones. But you see, God was with Stephen. See, that's what we got to know. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world or the end of the age. He's with us no matter what happens, no matter what's going on in our hearts, no matter what's going on in our lives. In John chapter 21, maybe you can read this later. I'm going to just kind of go over it a little bit. Starting with verse 3 to about verse 19-20. They didn't know what was happening with Jesus. They knew Jesus had died. And we've read the story where it talks about he was gone from them. And they didn't know the disciples. So Peter decided and all the disciples decided to go fishing. You know, these were avid fishermen. They knew how to fish. Most of them. They knew where to go. You know, you have your certain places you like to go because, you know, if you're a fisherman, you're just like, man, that's a good place to go. You know, you catch a lot of fish there, whatever. They didn't have no income coming in. Their leader was gone. So they said, we're going to go fishing. And they went fishing. And they fished all night. And didn't catch one fish. And I'm not talking, you know, not talking about no little P-roll boat here. This was a boat that they let out the nets on either side and would rake it in, coming in. And it'd come into the boat and no fish at all. Can you imagine? All night. Because they needed money. They needed to sell. They needed to eat. They had families. Lo and behold, in the morning, you might say, well, why did Jesus let them stay out there all night? I don't know. Sometimes we may feel that way, that we're in the shadow of the sea and we're fishing all night and not catching a thing. We're doing the work that God calls us to do, but we're not catching a thing. We're doing what God calls us to, but it's just not working out. But God called us to do it, so we do it. And we're trying to be faithful. Oh, lo and behold, Jesus gets on the scene. And let me tell you, when Jesus shows up, things happen. When Jesus shows up, he's the one that can heal and give and do and move like never before. And here we see Jesus shows up. And they look, and at first they don't even recognize who he is. But then they finally do. And he is cooking for them. Because they've been on that boat all night. They probably haven't eaten all night. Look how Jesus takes care of the physical also. My Lord. God will take care of us physically. God will take care of us spiritually. He has fish cooking and he has some bread for them. Where he got it, where he can make it. He owns it all. It says that he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all, people. He owns it all, my Lord. And they look at him. They finally realize it's the King of Kings. And he says this, cast your net on the right side again. One more time. Now, let me tell you something. I'm sure probably all of us have maybe fished somehow some things. Can you imagine being out there all night? And not catching a thing. And then somebody comes and says just one more time. These men were tired, hungry, dirty. And their hope was gone. It seemed like all they were in desperation. They needed something and it was just gone. Gone. No light at the end of the tunnel. But God shows up. Jesus shows up and he says one more time. Just do it one more time. You see, we pray and we have that net come in a prayer and there's nothing happening. We pray again and nothing's happening. We pray again and nothing happened. On this side, we believe God for this and nothing's happening. We believe God for this and nothing's happened. We've been praying for salvation for this and nothing's happened. We've been praying for healing in this area and nothing's happening. But when Jesus shows up at his right timing and his right place, He will be with us and he will help us. And we will get those things that we've been praying about. You see, lo, I am with you always, even unto ends of the world or the end of that age. He's with us. And he says, just one more time, one more time. And they said, okay, I mean, really? What do they have to lose? Now you might say, well, why do they do the right side? Probably because that's where the net was. I don't know. He could have said the left, whatever he wants to do, whatever he says. You might say, well, what if they would have done it on the left? They wouldn't have followed directions and they wouldn't have gotten what God wanted them to get. And they could have hurried up and got it up and went to the other side, and probably the miracle would have been gone by then. But he said, go out. They said it was about a mile or so down that they were. They came up one more time, and when they pulled it in, there were so many fish. Don't you think they were around that body of water, going every place they knew where to go to catch a fish, and nothing? But let me tell you this. You've been praying about stuff, keep praying, because one day you're going to go down and it's going to come up with a whole lot of fish. And you're going to see things happen. Let your faith rise up. Let your faith rise up. Let your faith rise up. Even though you might say, well, these disciples' faith was not rising up. They believed God. They said, we'll do it. Even though they doubted it maybe a little bit, they still did what God wanted them to do. Because when God speaks, and when God speaks, we do what he says to do. Because he knows what is best for us. Lo, I am with you always. And they came in with all these fish. My Lord, what a God we serve. Look, all things are possible with our God. All things are possible with our God. They brought in, and it says here, exactly 153 fish. You know what's the amazing thing? The fish that Jesus cooked for them was not out of the 153. He let them have it all. Look, God will give you what you need. God will give you more than what you need. Just keep following him. He's with us. He's with us. He's with us. It says that he will never leave us. So you walk around knowing God is with me. June 1st, 2025, God is with me. You might have to speak it to yourself. You might have to speak it to your mind. You might have to speak it to yourself to realize, hey, he is with us no matter what. No matter what's going on. Look. The devil cannot destroy what God has anointed and what God has in his children. You know, it's an amazing thing. In one part of that scripture, it says, he calls them, and he calls them children. When they were coming out that water, and he calls them, you can read it. He says, children. I mean, that means that's his sons. Look. You've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are a son of the living God. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are a daughter of the living God. And he will take care of you. Lo, I am with you. And let's everybody say it. Always. Amen. You may stand, please.